I'm Danelle Honeyball, standing in for Nikki Seberini on In Your Element. We're joined now by Bev Malone. Good morning.
Good morning, Danelle.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent.
So we have had tons and tons of SMSs. I don't know if you want to kick off.
Yeah, let's kick off. Let's get right into it. It is the Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. It is the Passover weekend. So in between Pesach and Easter, colliding so beautifully, we have this awesome time at the moment that is all about the time of celebration and liberation. That's really what it's about.
Lovely.
So I think it's very important people recognize that in every single day and every single opportunity, there is energy. And you could either ride with it or ride against it. These are your choices. But the energy is there to support you.
Okay.
So the energy of the time right now is about liberation. You know, from the Jewish perspective, we go looking through our house and questioning ourselves on whether or not there's anything left in the house that we shouldn't have there, whether we should be clearing out this, clearing out that. But this is a perfect opportunity to do that with oneself.
Oh, lovely, yes.
To sit around and go, hold on a second, what have I been believing for the last year that I still believe that is not serving me? What's working for me? What's not working for me? How am I making certain my relationships are better on a daily basis and not worse? How am I making certain my life is better on a daily basis and not worse? Am I holding on to things that are actually crowding up the energy and keeping me from flowing? Because what a beautiful time when the energy supports it to, instead of being hysterical about running around and hiring drape cleaners and carpet cleaners and getting everybody and all and sundry to go through every single cupboard and every single drawer, worrying more about the tiny little bit of this or that or the wrong suite or whatever in the wrong place, that has to be done. But there's no drama required. Just get it done. If you live in a house that is reasonable, it shouldn't be that hard a task. And by now, everyone should be completed with that. Because by this morning, this is when we move into the Passover, into Pesach, and we don't actually have any of that stuff in our house anymore, or we shouldn't.
I really like that you're saying, okay, by today, your house should be done now. It's time for you. Let's
absolutely
make some
cleaning. If you've been very busy running around getting your home done, fine. That was your goal. That was what you had to do. But now, by about 10 o'clock today, it all has to be burnt. The stuff that was found last night, it is finished, complete. The trash is given away. Everything is done. Now, instead of only being involved in cooking for tonight and for the weekend and only being involved in preparing for what is the meals that are to come and the seders, this whole story going through everything, now start to include yourself, because this is a beautifully powerful period and we're going to look at it throughout the period. It's a beginning of a 7-week period moving up to where we received the Torah essentially in Shavuot, and that's in 7 weeks time pretty much, plus a day. Awesome time for renewal, awesome time for looking at yourself. And there's unbelievable programs, day by day programs one can do that I've done for years now to refine oneself, to look at oneself, to see where it is you can improve, what you can be looking at. And it gives you the energy of each day.
And in this busy
unbelievably
time,
powerful.
I'm just wondering, in this busy time and with a lot of family, do you need to actually separate yourself to do these things? Do you need alone time, quiet time? Do you have to make special time for that?
Or? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not unlike making special time for hygiene. Mm-hmm. One has to acknowledge that there are families that have come in from all over the world. There's families that have come up from the coast and etc. And we've got this wonderful time where people are connecting and having more connection. But don't lose the point here that it's not just about having the opportunity to go through these 2 nights where we go through the whole story, and then to have changed your home over and eat differently for 8 days, to recognize that we don't want to disengage from the fact that we were liberated as a people 2,000 odd years ago, and or 3,200 years ago, whenever that really happened, and just move forward because we bought a whole lot of stuff that had a special sticker on. Let's actually put the real sticker on our shoulders and make certain that we're moving into this new energy and we're taking it with us, and we're more refined, we're better human beings. We have something more to offer ourselves, our partners, our colleagues, our friends, our children. Something that has improved, something that has been taken out that should not have remained from a year ago.
That's fantastic advice.
So let's look at this person, and I'm so excited to see that every single SMS is coming through with female, male, female. It's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. That really helps, because at least I can talk about you in concept of the right gender.
We've got the most fantastic listeners.
You really do. It's always 50-50, you know?
Yes.
I'm not an oracle, so I don't always get it right. So the 29th of May, 1986, this is a lady. And we have a lady who's a young lady. She's 25, not 26 now. this year. She'll be 26 this year.
Okay.
And so we have this young woman who is the ultimate nurturer, totally caring, and really believes in the unbounded potential for people to be healed and for things to be made pretty and for things to flow and etc. Now, part of the catch of that is that it can lead to smothering and over-nurturing. And so what I'm going to encourage her, because I'd love to try and get through as many as possible in the next 20 minutes, what I'm going to try and encourage you to do is just be mindful that when you're nurturing and when you're running in to help people and et cetera, and you have this very, very deep-centered sensitivity that people don't really get to hear about, to be honest. So that's kept very much to herself. But with this beautiful, deep nurturing sensitivity, make sure that the nurturing is required, it's asked for, it's welcomed. Because sometimes nurturing can be given because you believe someone should be nurtured, but they haven't really requested it. They haven't asked for it. They haven't stepped forward and put their hand up, but you're nurturing them already or saving the day. And a lot of people have that Florence Nightingale energy that they'll run in and save the day, but no one's really asked them to. So she has a keen eye, this woman, she has a keen eye for that which is lacking and where there's problems and et cetera. And so she's going to look in and say, well, I can see where you need help. You need to this, you need to that. I'll do this. Careful with that.
I think some people would probably think that it's interfering a little
careful
bit.
Careful with that because as wonderful as she is and as much as I'd love to have her on a humanitarian team that goes out and does charity work in the areas that need it, etc., she'd be unbelievable and really willing to give it her everything and etc. There's a story here that if you don't sit down, exhale and have a very good look, you might not find there's a story about what nurturing you need and what you need to be doing and how your sensitivity needs to be maintained no matter what and where your nurturing should be. And I'd very much like to know that you're nurturing yourself in this process and not being like absolutely focused on other people and their needs and not focused enough on your own.
And as you say, it's a fantastic time for that, to put a little bit of time into yourself. So
absolutely. Look, it's always a fantastic time for that. My favorite line is the status quo does not exist. You know, just move on, move on. Give yourself permission every day to recreate, reinvent, apologize, don't do that again, begin again, move forward, change, improve. Little bit, little bit, little bit. It's very, very difficult to change yourself on any significant level easily. Very difficult.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a belief in Judaism, from what I know, that if you really wanted to change a characteristic, it's probably easier to learn the entire Talmud. So that's quite a statement that's been made by our sages, and that's how hard it is. So it's not like I'm sitting here and saying, it's easy, just change, just improve yourself, just stop being so aggressive, stop being so demanding, stop being so unreasonable. I'm not sitting here on one foot and saying, it's easy, just do it. I'm saying there's a process. There's work to be done. And the first question that always has to be asked when we're behaving in a way that doesn't serve us is, why am I behaving this way? What is underneath it? What fear? What insecurity? What unmet need? How was I thwarted when I tried to do this before? What has blocked me from flowing through this experience instead of being aggressive or demonstrative or withdrawing or manipulative through it? Those are the questions we need to start asking. Get the real answers.
Yes. Well, thank you for your SMS, and I really hope this helps you. And as Bev says, this is a time when the energy is working with you. So ride that wave. Next
Absolutely.
SMS, we've got a male.
Yes, a gentleman. Did you do this on purpose? Female, male, female, male.
No, that's how the SMSs came today.
Okay. All right, so let's look at this male. We have a gentleman who is born on the 31st of October, 1976. And essentially, we have somebody who really wants to nurture and care for the world in a different way to Our Lady before, very different way. So he wants to finish things in a perfect way. He likes things to be very particular, very perfect, right? So that's not an easy way to be in the world. That's the first thing I'm going to say right off the bat. It's not an easy way to be.
Sounds exhausting.
Well, it can be exhausting, but on top of that, we really have somebody who cares. We have somebody who wants things to be different and who may not necessarily know how to do that.
Okay, so...
Do you understand that?
Yes, so you've got this great desire to make a change, but you don't know the steps that it takes to get to the goal.
Absolutely. So we have also a very critical, analytical mind here. So this is a sharp mind who's probably a very good educator and loves to tell stories and has a very creative way about it. And we have also somebody here who tends towards criticizing and judging people that he's very close to. And so I'm going to say right off the bat, be very careful with that, because we go through this again and again. Hey, Mr. T, when is criticism encouraged? When is it encouraged? Never. Never.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surprise, I thought you were going to say when it's constructive. No?
No, no. That's for low-grade books. No, 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 no. Never. 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 It's never encouraged. Unless you go to someone who's going to coach you and you pay them and you say, help me improve my golf shot. What am I doing wrong? That's about the only time someone gets away with really saying, okay, well, you're swinging it to this and you're doing to that and you're not sticking this out enough or your knees forward or whatever it is. There's no real room to tell somebody where they're lacking. Even when they ask, someone says to you, well, do you think I did that well? And you really don't think so. There's room for growth. There's room for improvement. There's, well, what do you like about what you did? Because the truth is, Danelle, I don't know if you do art or you draw or you do anything like that.
I do drama.
Okay. So if you've put a performance together that you've done on your own, by the time you're ready to present it to people, you're certain of it, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So by the time you're ready to put it out there, you already know it's good.
Yes.
So anybody else's input is just cream on the cake.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's cream on the cake. Right?
Yes, absolutely. It's
right, but it's not the cake.
No. What you've done is the cake and there's cherry
the
on top.
That's right. So by the way, a cake with or without a cherry tastes just as good.
Yes.
You don't really notice the cherry. And besides, there's normally one cherry.
Yes.
And so if there's five people having cake, you're either going to split the cherry five ways or there's only going to be one person who gets the cherry. But the bottom line is you're in it for the cake, not the cherry. Mm. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're in it for the cake and the cake's already complete, so somebody says it's nice, yay. Somebody doesn't say it's nice, so what? The cake's already complete and you're proud of the cake. Now, that's the same when you make a meal and you're ready to present it to people most times, although I've been for some horrors. And it's the same as when you draw a picture and you present it to people. By the time you're ready to present it to somebody, you already have an opinion about it that says, this is good enough to be viewed.
Yes.
So when someone gives you the opportunity to comment and put a cherry on top of what they've already worked on and believe in themselves is good enough, if they say to you, what do you think? This is not your opportunity to pretend to be the world's best art critic. What do you know? Could you draw as well? Gandhi said an amazing thing. He said, having so many faults myself, I make it a habit to not delve into the faults of others.
That is fantastic. You've actually made such an impact on me now, because I'm terribly critical and I always justify it.
Really?
And say,
what's your birthday?
I'm not going to tell you. We won't get into me. I'm embarrassed that you say something I don't want everyone to know. But I'm extremely critical and I always justify it in that, oh, it's fine that I'm critical of you because I'm even more critical of myself. So I'm always like, it's not like I think I'm perfect. So if I can take the criticism, then you can too. It's
okay.
Terrible.
Well, that's not unlike someone saying to me, come on, Bev, we're going on a women's group up Kilimanjaro over Women's Day this year. Just come. We can go. Why can't you? Right? Well, you can't put me in the same boat. I have knee problems. I'm trying to overcome them. I really do want to go up Kili. It's been a dream for over a decade, but it's just not really materializing yet. And until I figure out how to make this better, it's not going to. I can barely do steps without some kind of discomfort. I'm not doing a mountain, right? So I can't be compared to other people who can do it and feel any lesser about myself. You have different needs. You have different abilities. You have different wants and you have different hopes and dreams and fears and everything. So who's it for me to have an opinion about what you should be feeling, you should be doing, etc.?
Well, this is my personal project now for this weekend, is to think about that, because you've really, really started me thinking.
So let's think about it at an even deeper level, right? You're in drama. It has to be as perfect as possible.
Yes.
So you have to constantly be able to self-analyze and look at yourself and go, okay, no, that didn't work. Let's try this. No, like, that didn't work. No, that didn't feel right. That feels good. Right. So you constantly have to be analyzing, criticizing, and be your best critique.
Yes.
So that when the director's sitting there and says, come on, Danelle, do this. We say, yeah, I've tried that. Okay, what do you think of this? And there's already something to come in its place. Mm. There's already an interaction. But also bear in mind that as somebody who's used to being on a stage and used to performing and used to doing something in which people have comment, like a director who direct you, you're used to receiving assessment and criticism.
Yeah.
You're alone on that field, my dear.
Oh, dear.
The majority of the people do not wait for the curtain call. The majority of the people on planet Earth are going about their day, carrying on with things and hoping for the very best. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so they are not used to taking direction, and they're not used to having every move or comment or thing they put onto where critiqued and challenged.
I'm going to work on this.
So you have different training. Work on it. You'll ruin relationships. Don't do it.
I think I already have.
I'm sure you have along the way, because the criticisms are painful. For you, you welcome it. Why? Because when you're on stage, you know that you want to be the one who gets the flowers thrown and not the tomato, right? So if there's this you're doing wrong and you can't see it yourself, but the director can, you go, oh, thank you. Right, brilliant. I'll fix that. Oh, yes, brilliant. Okay, I'll do that. Is this right? Is this right? Okay, I'll do it like that now. Okay, and you train it. There's a muscle memory attached to every single thing you do for a theatrical performance, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So you are going to welcome that kind of critique and input with an open heart. Yes, I'm endeavoring to be better. Thank you so much. The rest of the planet is going, really? You don't like what I wore? Really? You don't like the painting? Seriously? Yes. You don't like the way I arranged the furniture? Seriously? Oh, I really thought about it. You know, and remember everybody listening, remember that when someone asks for your opinion, they've already spent time and energy and love and devotion and commitment and desire in there. Then they ask for your opinion.
They want the nod.
They just want the nod. And unless you're willing to commit to redo it completely and ruin that relationship simultaneously, be very careful to give anything else. So if you really don't like it, you say, well, I can see what you're trying. What were you trying to do? Get the person to give you their energy. What were they putting into it? Oh, well, if that's what you're trying to do, yes, it worked. Yes, yes, I can see that worked. Right?
Yes.
Right. It might not be what I'd want to do. It might not be what I'd like, but I'm not the one who just did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't bake the cake. I didn't make the lounge arrangement. I didn't put up the pictures. I didn't draw the picture. Right?
Absolutely.
Right. So before you give your opinion, be very careful to make certain you know what the person was trying to do. What look were you going for? What picture are you trying to create? What sandcastle are you trying to build, etc. There's always someone out there who can do better than you.
Yes.
And let me tell you, even for the gold Olympic medalists, tomorrow someone could be breaking that record. There is always someone who's going to be better than you.
Absolutely.
There is no status quo. People are always striving and trying and pushing to do more than what someone did yesterday or 5 minutes ago. Even I watch my son, who's here sitting quietly. I'm so proud of him. I watch him playing on his games, and he'll play the game, and he doesn't want to be the same as yesterday. He doesn't even want to be the same as a half an hour ago. He wants to be better. He wants to get through the level quicker. He wants to do it with more efficiency. We're constantly pushing and trying to be better. So we don't live up to other people's criticism of us. It actually holds us back, because now we feel like we're not being affirmed for our efforts.
That you make such a valid point. And I think, like you say, it's such a valuable thing to take into parenting. So I'm so glad that I was here for that discussion.
Okay. So the male, to wrap up on one foot, I'm going to say very carefully, critical, clever, analytical, sharp, quick-minded man. Careful how you use it, my dear. Careful whose self-esteem you might be affecting negatively. Rather work to build up yours, because I've never met any person ever who has a healthy, well-put-together self-esteem, who has any need, desire, or ever runs other people down, criticizes them, humiliates them. Never. The bullies are all insecure, weak people who don't have a solid standing in the world and therefore try to knock everyone else off their feet so they can feel strong for a moment.
Very valuable. Thank you, Bev. All right, we've had a lady as well. Another one. Do we have time?
We're not going to break.
This is 101.9
Chai FM.
You're on 101.9 Chai FM. This is In Your Element, and I'm Danelle Honeyball, standing in for Nikki Sabarini. We've got Bev Malun, self-esteem engineer, in with us, and her lovely son. He's got a question for you, Bev.
Hello, everybody. Emma, I've got a question for you. About what you were saying earlier, if, for example, you can never tell anybody that their work is bad. What if their work really, really is terrible and I could do way, way, way better. It's really bad. I, I'm, actually not helping them by telling them it's good.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So let me tell you how to deal with that. Okay. When somebody does work that really isn't good, or they sing and it's really not good, that's how we have some of the tragedy on idols, don't we?
Yes.
You look at these people and their mothers have said, you're going to be a star, my darling. Let's put you in front of Simon Cowell so he can rip out your lungs because, you know, I don't have the guts to do it. Right. And I watch that. I can't bear it. I've watched a bit of it here and there. And I think, how could that mother let that child believe there was an unreasonable level of talent there? That's criminal. That's criminal. Have the guts to say, sweetheart, I love that you want to sing. Let's give you the coaching.
Yes.
Let a coach say, sweetheart, I don't think this is the field for you. Let a coach say, okay, let's try this, let's try this, let's try that. Okay, sing it now, sing it, etc. Very few of us are so innately born with an unbelievable talent that we need no coaching or mentoring to reach our full potential. So if you have a child like that, find a way to have them coached, so that they can get directed and they can get the guidance, and they will either come to it themselves when they see themselves mirrored against people with far more talent and they see what their teachers are trying to get out of them. They will either come to it themselves or they'll put themselves out there. But you will have been the encouraging mommy.
Yes.
And they will have been the passionate child and the coach will have been the guiding force and life will teach them what they can and they can't do.
Everything in its place.
Right. But don't be the one who is where the arms need to be wrapped around when the hurt happens and the place, the safe place to go to when the world falls apart. Don't be the one pointing fingers. Mm. You have to be very careful. So Gov's point is very valid. Well, what if somebody is doing something and it really isn't good? Then what do you do? So I go back to basics and I don't make a judgment on the fact that it's good or bad until I understand a few things. Where they're coming from, Boyki, how good they are at it and what they were trying to achieve. And so you'll see a lot of times I will always address things like this. I make no assumptions. I make no judgment. And I will say to you, what were you trying to do? What did you want to achieve? What were you drawing? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he has full scope to be able to say, oh, I was trying to do this. I wanted to do this. And I'd say, okay, then I put myself into that position, not as a 40-year-old woman who might have some experience, but as an 11, soon to be 12-year-old young man who's doing his best with the talents and resources he has. And I go, okay, bearing all that in mind, I see what you're trying to do. Good job.
That's fantastic.
Good job.
And you don't want to
do you understand that? Does that make sense?
100%. Thank you.
I think it's a great question. And I think you hear a lot of people with a lot of resentment when they're older and they say, you know, my mother crushed my dream or all I wanted was my parents' approval, you know, and they never gave it. And I suppose...
Absolutely. Because all they want is someone to say, wow, nice try, nice job, that's fantastic. Very dangerous, these parents who will say to their children, you're the best ever. Whatever they're doing, you know, and I always look at that and go, wow, that kid's getting distortions. Wow, what is that child going to grow up with? Because there's so many people out there doing better all the time. And what they start to realize is, I can't do it as well as that person. My mother's a liar. I can't trust what comes out of her mouth. I'm not the best. She's lied to me. I went out there believing I'm not the best. Better to say, well done. You did so much better than yesterday. You're really doing your best. That's so fantastic. And I've said this to my boyki before. If you come home with results from school and they're not fantastic, but you did your best, then they're not fantastic by whose standards? By A is 180 to 100, B is 70 to 79. Whose standards are they not fantastic by? A child who does their absolute best and gives it their all and comes out with C's and D's has done fantastically for them. Not for a Harvard pre-grad, for them. But a child who comes out with C's and D's, who has far more potential, is not making the effort. That's different. A child who comes out with C's and D's but has B's and C's potential but really can't get it and needs assistance, coaching, extra lessons, help, that's a different story. But we have to be very careful from the point from which we determine what is sufficient, what is okay, what's good enough, etc. And until you can put the shoes on of the person and understand what they were trying to create themselves and look at it and give opinion from that place, you don't have the right to open your mouth, say anything other than looks great, good for you. Well done.
Fantastic, Bev. Thank you so much. And I think you've saved a lot of relationships. You've guided a lot of parents who find it very difficult because you want your kids to be the best.
I've done nothing. They have to take this and they have to do something with it. So the best advice I can give you is the next time you have your outstandingly critical eye looking at something and going, I know how this should be, bite your tongue hard so it can't move and think to yourself, have I been asked openly to be critical here? If I'm totally honest and brutal about it, from my perspective and my experience of what's possible, will this build a relationship or destroy it? Will it serve this person to have the courage to look more into their own potential to try harder next time? Or is it going to create a little wound that they might go, oh, that hurt. I'm not sure I'm going to try that again.
Thanks, Bev.
Do the work. Yeah. Have the prize.
Absolutely.
We don't just hear things and then we're better.
Absolutely.
Do the work. Sit down. Look at yourself. See where the insecurities are coming from. Address those. And then have prizes as you go. Little bit by little bit. Change doesn't happen big overnight.
Thanks so much. I hope that you guys can take this on board in this time when you're with your families and you've got some time off from work. Thank you so much, Bev, for being with us.
Thanks so much. Have a lovely weekend.